Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone again to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, John A. Guffey. Welcome you to FMG Live. Just wanted to take a moment tonight on this beautiful and very cold January night to say thank you to everyone who has followed us on Twitter, who is following us on Facebook, who is listening to the archive shows, listening to us live. We appreciate all of your support and we appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, for the last couple of weeks, last week we talked about our theme, which is a year of preparation. We talked about how preparation means action. And since we kicked the show back off last fall, one of the things that we've been trying to do is bring you the best in Christian life, not just Christian music, but Christian life in general. And one of the things that I haven't really talked a lot about is the lost, those who do not have a relationship with God. And I wanted to, I just really felt led, the Lord really pushed me to lead this program in that direction this week, to really speak about the lost. If you are lost and listening, I want you to really pay attention. And if you're not, if you're already saved, you have coworkers or friends or family or maybe a stranger who's going to be put in your way this week who needs to hear about Jesus and who needs to hear the good news of the gospel. I wanted to bring that before you this week, and I also wanted to talk a little bit about forgiveness because the two things go hand in hand. When we talk about people who are lost, you know, what we really mean are people who do not have a relationship with God and who have not accepted the gift, the free gift of salvation that Christ gives to us through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. You see, being saved, We toss that phrase around, especially here in the South. I've heard it called fire insurance. I've heard it called a lot of different things. What it really means is accepting the gift of Christ, accepting God's forgiveness, and you through your act of free will, saying, God, I believe in you. I love you, and I believe in your Son who came and died on the cross and rose from the dead, pays for my sins. Now, that seems like such a simple thing. But, you know, the devil, he's done a really good job of coming in and creating a lot of lies around what God wants to do for his creation. You know, one of those lies is, well, why would God, a loving God, a good God, send people to hell? And the fact is, God doesn't. There is no human being that God has condemned and sent to hell. Jesus himself said, I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. You see, God created hell for a group of rebellious angels who sought to depose him. God gives man a free will choice, and he makes it so easy. See, that's another trick of the devil. He makes it sound so complicated, but it isn't. God made it as easy as he can make it. He said, you know what? I'm going to give you my son as a sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice your animals. You don't have to sacrifice your children. You don't have to sacrifice anything, because I already gave you the sacrifice, and I took care of it for you on a cross at a place called Calvary. All you have to do is believe and accept my son's sacrifice for your sins. You see, God is a God of rules. And there are some people who say, well, you know, I'm a parent, and I won't, you know, when my children, I make rules, and when my children break them, I don't kick them out of the house and set them on fire. Well, no, and God doesn't either. God says, here's the rules. You have to say, you broke your rule. You broke the rules. Man broke the rules from the beginning. In the beginning, there was one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. Every other tree in this garden, Adam and Eve, you can eat from. Don't eat from that one. And what did they do? They ate from that one. God didn't chuck them. He didn't incinerate them. He didn't do anything horrible to them. He shook his head because he was hurt. And he said, you know, I am a just God, and there has to be a consequence for this. You can't be here in this garden anymore because you brought this knowledge onto yourself. You brought this onto yourself. You broke this rule. And God didn't care about man having the knowledge. You know, that's another lie. When the devil appears to Eve as the serpent and says, oh, God doesn't want you to know this, and, you know, God doesn't want you to be like him, that's such a lie. Everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Satan is a lie. It's a lie to you to say, oh, you can just be good and you'll get to heaven. God's not going to send anybody to hell. It's a lie to say that, you know, God will save you at the end if you're just a good person. Because there's none good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one, except for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only way that you are going to achieve salvation. Another one of the lies that the devil tells is, you've done too much. There's no way that God is going to forgive you of all that stuff you've done. You might as well face it. You're toast. So enjoy this life, because the next one's going to be a real tough one for you. And then he tells people, oh, there is no next life. This is it. He tells lies all the time. And people believe them. But the reality is that man is sinful. There is nothing that we can do to be good enough for God, because God's perfect. You know, the Bible says if for man to even look upon God, he'd be instantly destroyed in the flesh, because our flesh is so weak. The only thing that is good and permanent about us is what God created, which is our soul, our spirit. Because man made a mistake, our spirits get birthed into this fleshly body. And we have to go through this life. And this life sucks sometimes. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's loneliness. Sometimes there is hurt. But every bit of that is created by choice. You're like, well, rape victims didn't choose to be saved, didn't choose to be raped. They didn't make that choice. No, but the person who raped them did. Each and every human being makes a choice that affects themselves and affects the people around them, their loved ones, strangers, somebody else. And that's a responsibility that a lot of people don't want to have. And they don't want to accept that. They don't want to realize that their choices hurt other people. The person who says, I'm going to commit suicide because I don't want to be a burden on my family, doesn't realize the pain that they and loss and emptiness they are going to cause their family. So they take that way out. Each and every one of us makes a choice to accept God as our Savior or to not accept God as our Savior. But what are we really accepting when we say that? We throw those words around and we say, what is it? You know, you have to accept God. You have to accept the gift of Jesus Christ. What is it that we're really accepting? And if you're reaching out to someone who is lost, or you have a lost loved one, someone that you have this conversation with, they very well might bring up this question: What is it that I'm accepting? And what they're accepting is forgiveness. You know, this week God laid on my heart a really, really strong definition of forgiveness that I will not forget. And I want you to remember it too. Forgiveness is not remembering something and bringing it up every time that you have an argument, or every time you're displeased with someone. If my best friend, if my wife does something to me, and I say that I forgive her for that, and then she and I are having a disagreement a week from now, and I say, well, you remember last week when you did this? I haven't forgotten that, and I'm still carrying that, so that means that I have not forgiven her, which is what I said I would do. Because when you forgive something, it's gone. And, you know, you're like, oh, that's your own interpretation. That's not what that means. It actually is. And I'll prove it. Because in the English language, we use the word forgive when we talk about forgiving people of their debts. And when we forgive someone of their debts, that means they owe nothing. That means that debt is wiped away. It is marked out of the accounting book. It is zeroed out. Never to have to be paid again. Never counted again. That's what forgiveness means. It means that that transgression, that debt, that sin that you have done is forgotten. And see, very rarely do we as human beings forgive. We excuse, but we remember. We remember that friend who slighted us when they didn't invite us to that party. We remember not getting asked to go to the movies with that couple. We remember the harsh words that a spouse or a friend said to us. We don't forget that. We don't release that. We don't let it go. And by doing so, we are not forgiving. But you see, on the flip side of that, there's God. God forgives. God forgives every sin that you've ever committed or that you will commit. He forgives you for being unworthy. He forgives you for hurting him. He forgives you for hurting others. He forgives you for not loving him. He forgives you for not having a relationship with him. And when he says forgiven, he means it is forgotten. It is gone. It's like there's a hymn that I really love. Well, it's a Southern gospel song, really. It says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. And how powerful words those are. What powerful words they are. And that's exactly what God does. You may be at a point in your life where you are at bottom. And a lot of times we have to be before we turn over to God. And before we turn back, because we are stubborn. We are human beings of free will. And we will hold on to that free will because we buy into the lie that we know what is best for us. And that is not true. God does. Because God sees the whole timeline, and he loves us with a love that we cannot comprehend. And so he has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. You mean I'm supposed to be a robot? No, you're going to be a partner. And you're going to be a servant. I'm going to be a servant. We've taken that word servant and we've caused it to mean something other than what it was meant to mean. We've given it. Again, one of the tricks of the devil is to take our language and play with it. When you say that someone is a servant these days, that doesn't mean that they're a loyal and trusted aide. It means that they're someone subservient, someone who yields. Well, you know what? God created the universe, and he is the mightiest God. He is the God. There are no other gods before him. So, yeah, I am subservient to that. I am not his caliber. I'm not in his ballpark. I'm not in his league. I'm not on his planet. I'm not in his galaxy. I am an insignificant speck of dust, and so are you. And if you think that you're anything other than that when compared to God, you're wrong. However, God looks down on you, and you know what he sees? He sees a prince, and he sees a princess. He sees his child, because tended you, and he created you for the purpose of being a child to the king. So you see, what I just said we are is how I see it, human beings. But God sees us as princes and princesses. He sees us as rulers. He sees us as his children. He loves us. He loves us so much that he gave a part of himself, Jesus Christ, die horribly on a cross so that he could forgive us of our sins, and so that Jesus, who was perfect and who was good and who was everything that we should strive to be but can never be while we're in this flesh, sent him to die for us, to take your sins and mine. There's a passage in Isaiah that I want us to get to. It's Isaiah chapter 43, and it begins with verse 11. And you know, when you read the Old Testament, boy, I love it. The more I love it, the more I read it, the more I love it. Because the more I find in it, I've had knowledge of the Bible ever since I can remember. But it seems that only in the last few years am I really digging out some real meat out of it. And it's been amazing and awesome, and I love it. That's why God left us his word, so he could speak to us through it. It's a living word. Hear what our Father says in Isaiah chapter 43, starting with verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. He's talking about your enemies. And this verse 18 is what I've been talking about. Hear this word from your Father. Hear this word from the Lord God. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And what he is saying there is that no matter where you are, no matter what your situation is, no matter how bad you think it is, no matter how bad you think you are, God will make a way. He is commanding you to forget the old because he's forgiven you. When you accept God's forgiveness, he says, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Don't even think about them anymore because I'm going to do something new. I will do a new thing with you. You will be a new creature. You will be a new being. You will be a new man, a new woman that I am going to use, that I am going to help, that I am going to aid, and there is nothing that will stand in my way because I am God. He will make a way in the wilderness when it looks dark and it looks like there's nowhere you can go and it looks like there's no place where you can step that isn't going to cause you pain, that isn't going to put you in trouble. God finds a way in the wilderness. God makes a river for you in the desert. God can do that because his love for you is boundless. One of the things that I used to say in my past life, and you know, I talked about that before I really stepped up and got my relationship with God going. I told this to my wife. I said, there's nothing that I cannot accomplish for you. For you, I can achieve anything. Because my love for you is more powerful than circumstances. Now, that was me being arrogant because I didn't have that kind of power. But your Father does. Your God does. And God is reaching down right now and he is speaking to you. And he's saying to you, I'm here. And no matter what trouble we have, we're going to get through it. You don't have to remember the past. You can forget it because from this moment forward, it's a new day. You've made a choice and you have a choice. You have a choice to leave your life behind, the life of sin and pain and hurt. You can leave it all behind you and move forward in him because he can find a way in the wilderness and he can make a river in the desert. God loves you. And if you're listening and you want to know what to say to someone, right there it is. That's the word that you need to speak. You need to say to that coworker, to that friend, God loves you. He has forgiveness for you. He has new life for you. And you know, I'm going to take a moment. I said that this episode was dedicated to the lost, but a lot of times we as Christians who have accepted salvation, sometimes we stray. A lot of times we stray. We always fail. We will always fail God. But I want to remind you of something, and that is that God never fails us. And the same forgiveness that he has for us as sinners applies from the time that we accept salvation. It was there before we accepted salvation, and it's there after we accept salvation. If you have messed up as a Christian and you've sinned, you might have done some pretty bad things. I'll tell you, I was saved when I was 13 years old. I'm almost 43. And in those 30 years, of being a Christian, I've done every horrible thing that I could do. I didn't have a lifetime of ignorance as a sinner. I knew the sins I was committing and knew that they were wrong and did them anyway. And I fail even every day. Like Paul said, I die daily. But no matter how bad I got, no matter what wrongs I committed, even if they were for the right reasons, God forgives me and has forgiven me of each and every one of those. And what that means is he has forgotten them. Only the devil holds your past sins up to you and says, this is what you are, liar. This is what you are, slut. This is what you are, drug user, alcoholic, pornographer, every sin, murderer, thief. The only being who calls you those names and who knows you that way is the devil. Because God looks at you and he says, my son. See, our God, you know why we have the stories in the Bible? God looks at you because he is the father who looks out and sees the prodigal son returning and says, prepare the fatted calf. Let me give him the ring off my finger. You see, that father in that story never said, well, I'll take him back if. That father had forgiveness immediately. And he didn't think on what the son had done. Because that was in the past. He did not remember it of old. He forgot it and said, my son is with me now and I love him. Your father loves you. Your father loves his children. Man or woman, black or white, brown or yellow, doesn't matter what color or creed you are, God loves you. Repeating his words from Isaiah, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let God make a way for you. Speak to him. Accept his forgiveness so that your sins are forgotten, wiped away by the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Reach out to him. Just ask him. That's all you have to do. There's no ritual. There's no prayer specifically that you have to pray. There's not a set of magic words. There's nothing that you have to do other than say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please, I accept the gift of forgiveness that you offer. That's all that has to happen. Reach out. If you're saved and you know that gift, share this message with someone who doesn't. Share the message of God's forgiveness. Remember to forget your own sin. Remember that you are God's child, his prince, his princess. We are his warriors. We are his servants. Bring your fellows into the lifeboat. Remember to find us on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, it's FMG Live, the number 2, the letter U. You can check out this archived episode on blogtalkradio.com. I'm your host, John A. Guffey, wishing you a great night.